cliffcentral.com. Before we bring Donnelly and Ivan in here, by the way, you'll probably recognize both of them from Sevendaland. But before we get into any of that, I want to complain about something. Can I register a complaint? Ben, do you mind? Hold on, I've got to switch on your microphone. Oh, God, everybody's moving around here the whole time. All right, there we go. Ben, what were you going to say?
I said yes, this is the right place. Gareth, you may proceed.
Mubs, do you mind if I complain about something? I was listening to the radio, of all things, yesterday on the way from the gym, and I heard this horrible song. Horrible, horrible song. Turns out it's Rihanna's. Now, people complain about the lack of lyrical content in a song. This is a new Rihanna and Drake song. It's called Work. It is the crappiest song I've heard in a long time. This is the biggest steaming pile of bullshit that any artist has put together for ages. You've got Beyonce putting out amazing stuff, and you've got Rihanna churning out this dross. Listen to this. You could pick the time and the place, you'll spend some time away. Oh, this is just, hang on, this is just a teaser. I want to find the song, because this will... you can't believe how dumb this song is.
I want to hear what...
No, I can believe.
I want to hear what Michael Flex has to say after you're done with your complaint.
Please, don't just blindly support Drake and what he does here, because this is not about Drake. This is about a really dumb song from Rihanna. I just want you to hear the chorus, and you'll see what I mean. Let me get to it. Good Lord, it takes a long time to get there. What's going on here? Jeez, what is this? It's like the longest thing and it doesn't even get to the... Hang on. Let's try again. For God's sake. Can you see if you can't find me a copy of this song? I can't find it anywhere. What do you have to say about it, by the way?
As you said, Gareth, it's not about Drake.
Yeah.
It's about Drake and Rihanna. The fact that they were lovebirds, dating, rumored dating, and broke up, and now they can make a song together. They can put all their past behind it. I think it's a beautiful thing. So you've got to put that, like, even if it's a bad song, you've got to still give homage to that.
No, you actually don't, Lex.
Bullshit.
This is not about their relationship, past or present.
No, nobody cares about their relationship.
It's about the quality of the song.
I think it's a beautiful thing when exes can come together, put their past behind them.
Oh, please. Who even cares that they dated it? Work. He's... Dirt. When you are good, learn. Men are cure of him. Hurting. Those are the lyrics. That's how it goes. This is a terrible song, right? Somebody stand up for the sensible people here. I've got to find a copy of the song for you so you can hear it. Here we go. I think this is it. So it's work.
Work. You see me every work. You see me do me dirt. And some of that work. When you walk a line. I'm in the cafe, my ta. Drive me a dessert.
Isn't this ridiculous? Come on. Those are the lyrics. You just heard it. Work. He said me happy. Work. He see me do me dirt. So me put in work. Come on.
Is there no... I know that's the chorus, but is there nothing in between that?
Sia, help me out here.
Can I play the devil's advocate here?
Yeah, come on.
What is the... I know this sounds kind of fluffy, but what's the intention of the song?
It's about...
But have you ever looked at Rihanna for lyrical genius? Or do you just want to listen to Rihanna to just dance and have
I'm
a good time?
I'm sorry. I refuse to be insulted like this.
It's just a matter of time. Give it a week. Everyone will just be working on the dance floor. That's it. You just want to dance to it. It's kind of catchy. Admit it.
Yeah, so syphilis.
I won't deny that. But it's just one of those things.
This is a whole pile of crap, if you ask me.
Listen.
Mubs, no redeeming quality, right?
No. What we've got to remember, Gareth, is that we are now old. And we don't get what millennials respond to and what they prefer. They don't want lyrics, Gareth. They want a beat that they can grind to. Mm. We must just accept that we are old.
Daniel says, I heard that song ages ago. It's so shit. I don't know how they came up with such cuck. I couldn't even hear what most of the lyrics were. Ankia says, I fully agree. That Rihanna song sucks. And Flax, you're an idiot, according to Layton. Don't start my week like this. That is a disgusting song.
Okay, but
how dare you?
I thought we agreed we're not going to be throwing around the idiot word anymore.
No, I can't guarantee it. Come on. I can't promise a damn thing. Let us invite into the studio and welcome here this morning two real movie stars, because there are very few movies in this country that are actually successful, that actually make money at the box office. It's a tough business. It's like the music business. You know, you have to sell millions and millions of albums for it to be a worthwhile endeavor these days. You make your money out of performances and stuff. These guys are soap opera actors. They've made an incredible movie called Vir Altyd. And Vir Altyd has already scored 4.7 million rand at the box office. That is very impressive. Donnelly, Ivan, how are you?
Great. How are you doing?
Good. Lekker. Very nice to see you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Right. Now, let's start with Donnelly Roberts. She's an actress, a writer, producer, and an MC. You play Annelie in Seven Dolan, right?
I used to.
Oh, hang on. Now I don't have your microphone on. You used to. You see, forgive me because I don't watch soap operas, but there we go.
Don't lie.
I swear I don't. I wouldn't lie. If I did, I promise you if I did, I'd be very honest about it. Because I think a lot of people enjoy that. It's like you sit in front of the TV and you forget about your own problems because the people in the soap opera have got real problems.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No. They have horrible lives. Do you watch soap operas?
Unfortunately not.
No, because you're not even involved in Seven Dolan anymore, but you still are, right, Ivan?
No, both of us
also
left.
Both of you are. You're movie stars now.
2 years ago, we left with the first film, Patne Art, that we did together and produced together and wrote. And since then, it's just been films. So
nice.
Yeah.
You must be some of the very few people in this country who can actually say that you have a full-on movie career.
That was always the goal. I think Seven Dolan was a wonderful learning platform.
Yeah.
But when we left, we've never looked back, fortunately.
Sure.
And now we really get to do what we're passionate about. And I think you have to if you're going to be working at something 14 hours a day.
Now, it's amazing to me that this is an area that there weren't very many Afrikaans films being made. And if they were, they were either kind of ridiculous or they were small box office hits. But what you guys managed to combine here is that you got a great story, you've got a great movie, it's a quality production, but you also made money out of it, which is something that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I think one of the things we did differently from a business perspective was really back the product with a marketing campaign.
How did that marketing campaign work?
It was a lot of personal marketing. So obviously the budget's always a restriction, mm-hmm. but we aligned ourselves up with a lot of partners that made a lot of things possible.
Mm-hmm.
Right through from above the line marketing, billboards and so forth. But we have a couple of wonderful partners that really backed us, number one. But we also literally, the two of us, went on a personal marketing tour across the country. Toured about 7,000 Ks, shaking the hands of the people. And,
it's kind of like a political campaign.
Yes,
right?
Yes, very, very much.
Go around, kiss babies, exactly. Pose for photographs.
You lie. We have a new photo after this weekend, a cinema signing where somebody came with a premature baby, like born baby,
wow.
Holding. We've got us two holding the baby like this. Like,
isn't
it's
that
ours.
Dangerous?
Like, no, it is.
Like a premature baby.
Yeah. But they took it out for a film. It's like, we need to watch this film. Let's take our baby out of the hospital.
Wow.
No,
I would have sent those people straight to jail.
It wasn't Colonnada, that side of the mountain. So, you don't send those people
inbreeding.
Anywhere.
There's a lot of inbreeding.
Yeah. So what happens if cousins...
Sure.
You know, no, I'm kidding.
But it is amazing. Like, this is for Afrikaans romantic movies. This has got to be a record breaker.
Yes, yeah. The opening weekend... I'm going... 4.7 million was opening weekend.
Opening weekend!
Yeah, currently we're on... we're still waiting for the second weekend that just passed the numbers, but we're roughly on about 8 million rand.
Good Lord, that's incredible.
But more than the numbers, I think it's about the numbers of people that come and...
people. It's about the bottom line. This is amazing. Now, do you think that... in your wildest fantasies, making a movie here would ever have done this well? You've been acting, both of you, for a long time, right?
Yeah.
You know that mostly actors, the best they can hope for is a role in a soap opera because it's a regular income.
I think the dream was always to do what we're doing now and to work really hard at it. You can't expect work to just fall into your lap. And if you want to play a certain character, then write it and make it happen. And I want to add to what Ivan said. I really think in the world of marketing right now, everything's oversaturated. If you're not invested in something, you drive past that billboard, you scroll past it on your phone, mm-hmm. you page past it in a magazine.
There's a lot of wallpaper.
I agree. And if you're personally invested into something, then you're more likely to kind of support it.
Sure.
And I think that was the big goal with making marketing personal and meeting 25,000 people and kind of sharing our passion about the kind of films that we want to make and the kind of stories that we want to tell. I think you can put everything into a film, but if it doesn't have heart, even if it's...
Did you guys write this movie as well?
Yeah.
Yes.
So you wrote the movie, you produced the movie.
That's great.
What kind of experience is that too? Because, I mean, producing a movie is it's a very serious business undertaking. You have to put the cash up front. You have to decide on budgets. You have to get a crew together. Mm. You have to film in locations.
We surrounded ourselves with some awesome people. Co-producer Donnie Bester, he's been in the industry for a while, and our director Jaco Smit from a creative perspective. So the four of us as a team, I think we did Patniar together as well, and I think this is just a build on that. It's not a follow up, but a build. So I think having them on the team allows us to sort of choose when we get involved with what aspect. So yeah, but I think that's the biggest challenge. You know, we were in Mauritius and everybody asks us, it must have been amazing, you know, to shoot in Mauritius. It was. But
how long were you there for?
We shot for 3 weeks there, but we were there in total for about 2 months last year.
Wow.
With setting up deals and scouting locations and. But, you know, we were joking that we have the script on the one hand and the budget on the other hand. So it's like, you know, jumping between the roles as producer, writer, and actor the whole time is the most difficult.
Well, it's an all-consuming thing, but there were?
Quite a few moments where we wish we could have just been actors on this project, because a lot of the actors that went over to Mauritius, they
had all
went on set.
Yeah, the couple of off days.
Filmed a little bit and then kind of went to embrace Mauritius. I was like, I want to be you right now.
Yeah, swimming in the sea, having a fun time. But I mean, look, with great risk comes great reward. So you obviously identified a gap in the market here. People want to be... They want to be told happy stories, right?
I think the way we write, we're very symbolic writers. So it's not just a romantic comedy. There's ups and downs. It's a bit of... There's drama, there's comedy, there's a bit of action, there's suspense. So I think people really go on a figurative and a literal adventure with our characters. And I think that's made a bit of a difference in terms of the feedback that we've gotten.
No, that's amazing. But I mean, at the heart of it, people like a love story.
Yeah, for sure. I think the timing was also good. We identified that Valentine's weekend is obviously a very specific weekend. The people that maybe go to watch a film once a year actually go and watch a film for the event
right.
as well. So from a marketing perspective, that made it a little bit easier as well. And I think the Afrikaans market is very loyal. So once you kind of have them engaged in who you are and what you have to offer, and you don't disappoint, they'll always come and support. But the wonderful thing, I think, and it comes from Siemdalon, it's watched Siemdalon, something like Siemdalon's wide demographic, you know, whether you like the story or not, or whether you like soaps or not. We've had, you know, all races, all languages that come up to us in the street and kind of, you know, engage with us. So I think from that, we've also identified that there's a need for South African films. Sure, it is 70% Afrikaans, but there's French Creole, there's an English character.
Amazing.
We're trying to slowly get to a point where we can only tell, we call it a South African film rather than an Afrikaans film alone.
But I think also the themes that we touched on completely transcend language barriers. So with Patniart, we released in Australia and New Zealand as well, and it's been dubbed into German, and we've gotten feedback from all around the world, which is great.
It's amazing.
Kind of people going, and I think that just proves that if your story has heart, and the themes that you write, it anyone can relate to it then, regardless if it's just an Afrikaans.
So how did you get into this? You studied drama at university.
Yes, right? I studied at the University of Pretoria.
And I also heard that you got divorced in like 2010. You said you were married too young.
Yeah, I think I've laughed about it. I've gone, there should actually be a rule that people could only get married when you're 30.
Yeah.
Because the person that I am now compared to the person that I was then, two different worlds.
Well, I bet you that that ex-husband of yours wishes he'd hung on a little bit longer, because now you're doing so well. And he must be thinking, I should have stayed the course. I should have made more of an effort. Could have been a house husband. You're out there producing and writing scripts. But you don't have kids.
I don't.
Okay. Because that would have obviously been something that could slow you down.
I do want to have kids.
Yeah, but now, at this stage in your career, it could have slowed you down if you'd had kids to look after. You couldn't have written and produced and acted in this movie if you'd done all that.
I have a kid.
As a child.
Yeah, but you got a wife as well.
No.
You
no,
don't?
No,
no, You're a single dad?
I'm a single dad.
Jeez. All right. So how did you get that right?
No, well, obviously, her mom is very... We have dual custody. So... Mm-hmm. It is a 50-50 in that sense. But I agree with you. From a business sense, it feels like the wonderful thing about being in control of your own career and your own job and business is you can make your own hours, you know. This is an early morning for us, you know. Usually we're only up by 10. No. I'm joking.
I wish.
I think it's possible. I think it's possible. To juggle all of it and still have a child and make a success of both of it.
I want to have lots of
child's
kids.
Life.
You do?
Yes.
Lots of kids. It's a lot of work. you think this production thing is hard?
They're going to be sets, grow up on sets.
Yeah.
Child stars. Like
child star kids.
Start drinking early.
Can you imagine? Now,
time management.
Yeah. Obviously, you two have starred in these movies. You've written them and you produced them together. I mean, is there, because you are both, I assume, single, or at least the chances are that you're involved with each other, because when you work in that proximity with someone, you get to know them pretty well. It's bound to happen. It happened with Angelina and Brad. It happens. And a movie's it's an exhilarating place to be, right?
And we're making romance films.
Exactly.
As well.
Now, hang on.
Come on.
This is, I defy anybody who's starring in a movie with, you've got attractive co-stars, right? You're in this euphoric sort of atmosphere. Everything's being looked after. You've got... you don't have to worry about meals. You don't have to worry about accommodation. You could just be. And in that moment, you get into kind of each other's characters. And it's hard not to fall in love.
But I just want to say, in that moment, you're also sharing that moment with a boom swinger right next to you, out of frame.
Yeah.
The camera right here.
Of course.
So what everyone sees is just the moment. But there's more than just the two of you in that moment. So it's a lot more romantic on screen
than it is in real life. But it is a special sort of, it's a different world. It's a parallel universe in some ways, because you're acting in a romantic movie. You almost want to believe that you can become that character. And you have to if you're really good at acting, right?
Depending on, exactly, I was just about to say, depending on how good you are. No, look, I think from the two of us, we're best friends, firstly. You know,
you're not in love.
I've been trying really hard, but this is a difficult customer over here.
Are you not in love with him?
I'm still deciding.
Oh, really? Well, that's a very honest, honest answer.
I take
it
to Mauritius. Nothing.
Nothing.
next film we're shooting in Buffalo or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, somewhere shitty.
Horrible. Maybe I stand a chance.
No, but you're still deciding is a very kind of mature, thought-through answer.
See, different person. 20s?
Yeah, absolutely. 30s. Because you don't know what you want. At the moment, you've got this really good working relationship, right? And it's bearing fruit. And it's a good place to be. You don't want to ruin that now by necessarily falling in love with each other. Yeah. He's already obviously head over heels for you.
I'm not even lying about it. I'm putting it out there.
You just tell everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're not bullshitting me.
I'm not bullshitting. I'm just, you know, I'm putting it out there.
Yeah. No, she's a very good-looking woman. Why wouldn't you be?
But tough. I told you, tough. On air, she just goes.
You got any? Got any sex scenes in the movie?
I'm topless. I know the guys out there don't want to hear that, but maybe the ladies care. I used to be in shape for the film.
What happened to you? What did you let yourself go for?
No, after the film, you know.
I wouldn't say you've let yourself go.
Mab says you're all right.
after we went over budget, I just realized I'm just going to let everything go now.
Shocking. Now, go back to the sex scene.
Okay.
Was there one?
No.
No.
No, it's a PG. Oh, PG, we made it for the family.
Family-friendly movie. It's for everyone.
How are...
But there's sexiness.
How are the rules and how strict are the rules in South African productions when it comes to that kind of thing, specifically with sex scenes? I imagine we're a lot more conservative than a Hollywood audience.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. It's. I think
in the Afrikaans market, even more. You have to be careful. If you hold each other's hands, there's some tunny in the cinema. She's getting all excited and jumping up and down in her seat.
Yeah. No, I think they're doing a good job, or they're trying at least. But I know there are a couple of double standards, and I think that needs to be sorted out when it goes through the publication board and the ratings and so forth. For example, Deadpool out now, which is a real fun movie to go and watch. But it's hardcore, and it's got like a 16, and there's nudity, and it's like, you know, beheading, and.
Yeah.
And then something like that.
Like an ISIS documentary.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, sure. You know, just...
But the same thing in Afrikaans, we suddenly have kid gloves on, and we're being very, very careful.
Yeah.
And
because something like this Ek Anna, which is a really intense story, but there's no nudity. It's all... suggested in the entire film, but it deals with child molesting and a very important story to be told in the bigger picture.
I'm not going to that. I'm
sorry.
You
don't need to go and watch
that. Sounds depressing.
But they got
as
like
hell.
It's 18, brilliant, you know, and it shouldn't. It should be, you know. So anyway, Afrikaans a little bit more conservative. Just to get back to your answer, it's a little bit more. Your question? Sorry. It's a little bit more conservative, like you said, Gareth.
Yeah, everything's fine if it's in English, but don't put it in Afrikaans.
But Brandewijn is okay. Like, you can just go all
out. You can have drinking.
Lots of it.
Okay, so in the movie, you two play friends who you've kind of grown up together, so you've known each other almost all your lives. And then there's some sort of tragedy. And I don't want to give the whole thing away in case someone hasn't seen it. Some kind of tragedy, and it kind of forces you together, but apart first. Is that about right?
That's correct.
That's a good synopsis. Could I write for the next movie?
You're in.
Okay, man. Sia, what do you think?
I think we're onto something here.
Yeah.
As long as I can have a cameo.
Oh.
Thank you. I'll just sing like a Bobby Finneas
Falls. No,
you know, that's my
don't.
Prerequisite.
Thank you very much.
Just one line.
But I also saw you dancing out there just now. So that was great. So you've got my vote.
Musical.
He's multi-talented.
You should do an Afrikaans
I can
music.
See.
I think you have. You've done one.
Not us personally, but they have. They with Bobby Finneas Falls in it. So.
Oh, yeah.
It's called As She Sings. So, sorry. Oh. You were late. You missed
it. Have you seen it?
I've heard about it. I've heard about the stage production. And so maybe
lying.
This is
he's
my...
He's seen it. No. Look at him. He's seen it. You know, pretending that he hasn't seen
this
it.
This is my calling. Maybe I'm meant to be the Afrikaans Tom Cruise.
I can see it. I can definitely see it.
I can't. I'm being honest.
I wish I could get into your head for 5 minutes.
Oh, it sounds like such a wonderful space to be in.
Unicorns and rainbows. And sees himself as the Afrikaans Tom Cruise. Good luck with that. But you kind of are then, Ivan. You kind of are the... You're the main lead guy in cinema in this country, right?
Except that I have a fear for flying, so
you
do? Top Gun Tom Cruise thing is
but
out of it.
Are you serious?
No, I'm serious. It's not... I don't have it. That I like literally can't get on the airplane.
Like B.A. Baracus from the A-Team. Okay, but do that you have to take pills and stuff?
No. I just I get all sweaty and I, you know.
What do you think you're going to die?
I just hate being out of control. I think that's the worst of it, you know.
So you get on a plane and you're worried you're going to be in an accident.
Well, something like that. Or ISIS will shoot us down. No, it's the...
It's not in Mauritius.
No, not in... Hey.
Maybe in Somalia.
You lie. We were supposed to film in Mauritius at the airport and was cancelled due to terrorist threats.
No way.
Serious. Because obviously you can imagine how they are using, some of those families are using these small little islands to, you know,
channel money or buy guns or whatever it is.
So, yeah.
God, no. I mean, you can't even go to paradise anymore.
It's done. Stay home.
You don't live together, you two?
No.
No?
No.
Did you like to do that?
Yeah. I've
wouldn't it
often
make sense?
Pretended like, driving home is so far, maybe. And then she just goes, Ms. Brad, let me just send me an SMS when
you won't even let him sleep on. You won't even let him sleep on the sofa in your house.
I wouldn't let myself sleep on the sofa in the house. I'd rather go home. That's sad.
Oh, well.
Sofa's sad.
Well, I mean, you can't. She's not that easy, clearly.
No.
She's going to make you work for it. And decide. She'll decide. She's making this decision. This is very nice, though, because I think it's inevitable that the lead woman and man in a romantic movie, I think it's inevitable that they fall in love at some point. And now you've made how many movies together?
Two.
The third one's the lucky one. Watch. Everyone's going to come along with some ring and say, at the end of the movie, here we go.
Yeah.
It's all going to happen.
And then you shout, cut. And I'm gonna
just no, keep going.
Keep going.
I got to say, guys, when you were on Afternoon Express with Jeannie D, you seemed a lot more tight.
Oh, is it?
Was that just because she told you to be like that?
You were on with Jeannie D?
You know, I pay my TV license. Yeah. I watch SABC nowadays. Yeah. I force myself to get the value.
We're talking about soapies, but geez, you just come Afternoon Express stuff down. Next level.
Do you know that Ivan went to his matric dance with my sister?
Yeah, I did that.
He was my sister's date for the matric dance.
Look how angry he's getting.
No, why would he be angry? I didn't have a problem with you. I hardly knew you. I mean, I probably met you like three times, right?
Yeah.
And why would I notice?
You made a mean cup of rooibos one day.
Did I?
Yeah.
Okay, well then at least I wasn't unkind.
No, that's really nice.
You were good.
No, I'm not a horrible human being.
That's lovely.
So what's next on the agenda? I mean, you must already be thinking about the next project.
So our next film, Ivan's going to be making his directing debut. He's going to be directing our next film.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Excited about
that.
What's it going to be?
It's going to be a little bit more of a female adventure.
Good.
But ask Ivan why.
No pedophiles or anything, please. I mean, that movie you described just now, so it's depressing.
But ask
none
Ivan.
Of that. Good. None yeah. of that.
Ask him why he thinks he can direct a female cast film.
Why?
Well, I've been getting like, why am I allowed to, as a guy, direct a female film?
Yeah.
Like, geez, that's a hard question. So I've gone home and thought about it.
Yeah, what's the answer?
Because I am the biggest feminist, you know.
How so?
Because I absolutely love women.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, that's a good start.
But in his mind, being a feminist translates into I love women.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You need to spend some time educating him on this.
I think everybody should have one.
Do you think that there's as much of a market for this as there would be for a romantic comedy stroke?
I would say 70% of our market is female that come and watch the films at this stage. And of that 70%, the 30% that's left, the guys are forced, you know. It's not like, we're going on this date.
Right. But that's what happens with all movies.
Exactly. So female... they do just have
the only
most
movies
power.
That guys don't have to be forced to go to. It's porn, but they can watch that at home.
Yeah,
but I have to also say, with Patneoart and with Veraltijd, we did a cinema tour.
Yeah.
In with both films, and we're still busy with our cinema tour with Veraltijd, and we're there at the cinemas when people come out because obviously it's important for us to say thank you. I think
that is very, very good. I mean, I don't think there's anybody who does that.
Thank you.
You have to, but this is what's incredible. And clearly you guys deserve the success because you're putting in the hard hours and the hard work. Are people surprised when they walk out of the cinema and you're standing there? Or do they know you're going to be there?
I think people have an appreciation for it. We appreciate people's feedback. So we have an appreciation for being there. And it's usually the guys that kind of, when we kind of see them go in, they're all macho about it, going, no, this is a little bit more my wife's cup of tea. And then it's that exact same guy that walks out having cried with red, swollen eyes.
Tears
of joy. And I mean,
he says thank you.
And also, I think, I mean, because I get women crying. I cry for everything. I cry in an advert. I'm easy target. I'm very sensitive. But I think the amount of guys that I've seen that have cried in our films, I've stopped counting. And I think that's really nice as well to see that guys also kind of feel with the film.
Do you just love acting? Is it more fun than writing and producing and doing all the other stuff? Because acting is a very special thing, I suppose. If you have a talent for it and if it's what you love doing, then you would probably almost do it for free.
I'm in love with acting, but I think being a writer gives me a deeper understanding of the characters that I play, and being a producer makes me want to work even harder at kind of producing a quality project.
Ivan, can you direct and act in the same movie?
No, so I won't be starring in the next one. I think I always said when I'm 30, then I'll do the directing thing. I did study and specialize in directing and script writing at Varsity. So, but I think directing comes, you need a bit of life, sort of experience and maturity of some sort. So I feel ready now to take on that task and lead a team and lead actors and kind of just take control of it from a creative point of view as well.
I imagine, and both of you could answer this, I imagine it's really, really hard to get cinema chains and media and everybody else involved in a project before you've proven that you're a success. Now that you've proven with Feraltate that you can make a really successful box office hit, now they must be lining up around the block to talk to you. They must be saying, shit, we've got to have a meeting with these guys and we've got to set up the next big movie and we've got to do special events for them and we've got to organize this and that and the other and you could put it on more screens and that kind of thing.
Yes and no. You've got to, yes, in the sense of it's easier to get partners, like media partners involved, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But other than that, you also have the media kind of looking for... They like a success story up to a point, you know, and then they kind of want to break it down or, you know, they kind of ignore it and they want something back. We've had a lot of gone to see media. If you want to do an article with them, then they want something in return. So, yes and no in the sense of that a certain amount of the media are interested and then some of them aren't. Some of them are going, we don't need to do this for you guys. It's, you know.
Well, They're talking nonsense because they're going to need you. It's hard in the movie business.
It
now.
Is. We appreciate it, and we always take the time to thank media and you know for being involved, and because at the end of the day, it makes a massive difference.
Do you think that somewhere along the line, I don't know often whether people entirely understand how difficult it could be to make a success out of something that everybody's trying to say is going to be a disaster. Did you have people who said to you, this is not going to work, you're making a mistake, you're wasting your time, and now they have to see you succeed? Is any of these people you want to go back to and say, hey, by the way, how are you feeling now? Come on, tell the truth. There's got to be some people like that. Huh?
I think after
you don't have to mention names.
After Patna Yawart, a lot of people went, this is our favorite film, you're never going to be able to top this.
Right.
So, no. Whatever you make after this, it's never going to be as good. But I think from feedback that we've gotten being at the cinemas and also on our social media pages, because we run them personally as well, mm-hmm. we've actually found that people like this more. So I think that's great.
I think there's... I would give a little shout out to film critics in our country. Sure, you've got to be honest and you have an opinion that needs to be honest. But we have film critics the last 10 years. They come out and they go, hierdie doen afbreek in die Suid-Afrikaanse filmbedryf. You know, it's like we're breaking down. Nobody's out to make a bad film, you know. So they're very hard on local films, film critics.
I didn't even know that anyone even cares about critics anymore. Do they?
Afrikaans, they've got, like, you know, some of the older folks, they still listen to certain film critics and
really?
it is a dying trend. It is something that is, but in the Afrikaans film circles and public,
and they haven't been especially kind.
No, and I think it's a little unfair because at the end of the day, you know, they're not aware of all the restrictions, the budget restrictions, the fact that the industry is still very young, you know. We haven't made 100 films. We don't have these massive studios. All the studios in this country weren't set up for local filmmakers. They were set up for international filmmakers. We're not getting an opportunity to play in them or work in them. It's not affordable. So instead of sort of breaking it down even more, they should maybe just look at it from a different angle, from the production side, from the fact that we're all trying to build up an industry that was non-existent.
And
10 years ago.
I agree with Ivan. No one goes out to make a bad film. But I mean, if it's your first film or your first project, there's still room for growth. You still, you learn from every single experience.
Sure.
So hopefully your next film can be better and better and better instead of kind of just breaking it down and going, they doen afbreek.
Yeah, it's a horrible thing to say. Mm-hmm. So Donnelly, I'm interested in you because you come from Witbank, but you're so refined. There's this classy woman sitting here, but she's from Witbank. I mean, you can't even drink the water in Witbank. Do you still have family there?
My mom still lives there.
Oh, you must get her away from there as quickly
but
as you
can. But
she
comes to visit.
They call it
every weekend.
Imalahleni, the place of coal. Yeah. I mean, what a thing to be famous for, coal. I'm so glad you got out of there and became a massive success.
Thank you.
Yeah, what a win. But apparently you're into all kinds of really fun action, sport, and adventure. You do jet skiing and windsurfing and deep sea diving and all of that stuff. Is that true?
Yes. I used to do it a little bit more. I don't have as much time to do that now, but I do enjoy doing all those things. I used to be a big adrenaline junkie when I was a little bit younger.
On the Witbank Dam.
On the Witbank Dam. Is that, you just don't swallow the water.
We call it scuba diving. Yeah. It's actually dumb daker. It's like, it's like the same
and
thing.
It doesn't matter what you've got on under that water. You can't see more than five centimeters in front of your face.
Yeah, there's a barber. So disgusting. Like, right, toxic.
It's bad. What do you do for fun? Do you get any time off, Ivan?
Yeah, every second I have, I spend with my baby girl. We have a really beautiful relationship, and she's so much fun.
You get along with the mom?
Yes, very well.
You sure?
Yeah, very well. No, she's got a great sense of humor.
Uh-huh.
And I think, you know, gives me perspective on what's really important. Because you get caught up in your own life and business and work and media and trying to make something a success, and she couldn't care less, you know. She just wants to have fun and play, and she doesn't care who I am or what I've achieved or what I'm working towards. Yeah. So
she's like, "Where's Dad?"
Exactly.
What's the big dream here? What's the end game? I mean, would you like to be producing feature films for the next 10 years, 20 years?
For sure. Yeah, I think the next step would be co-producing or collaborating with international films more often. And not just political stories, you know.
Yeah, I think from South Africa, we get stuck in that, right?
Exactly. So to really make a breakthrough regarding that, and that's going to allow us to just have a little bit more money to play with, and money means time, and time means perfecting our craft, you know. So I think definitely what we're doing now is the dream, and to keep on doing it, and to grow, and to have local people come and support our films is amazing. But yeah, we do want to think bigger and think international without leaving South Africa behind in any way or form.
You agree?
Completely agree.
That's on your agenda as well?
Completely agree. And I think within that, to also just kind of find time to be mindful in moments and not work so hard that you miss the little moments in between. And as cliche as it might seem, I really have an appreciation for people's feedback. I think we were on opening weekend, we were in Cape Town at different cinemas for different times, and people walked out having cried and spontaneously stopped and shared stories about divorce and cancer and wedding days that were a disaster, but they've been together for 30 years after that. And just it's like they've spent 2 hours of their life with you now, and now they open up and they share with you where your film touched them. So that to me is extremely important.
That's excellent. Are you going to star in this movie, this next one that he's directing?
Yes.
Okay. Good. Who else have we got there? Got some good-looking girls besides her?
Yeah, well, we haven't started the casting process.
No fat ones. No, listen carefully. You don't want this to be a success.
Okay, I'm listening.
No fat ones.
Yeah.
All right. We want a couple of blondes, couple of brunettes. We want one or two black girls. We want one or two Indian girls and colored girls. And here you got to get the demographics right. We want them to wear bikinis a lot of the time.
For sure.
We were talking just the other day about the success of great TV shows like Baywatch. Sia, you disagree?
Some girl on girl, okay. Maybe? I'm just...
Oh, please. That would not go down well with this audience.
Oh, is it?
Okay. No. I'm not going to try and chase your audience away.
But I just want to know, what about the guys that like a little bit of a fuller figure?
Yeah,
who?
Gareth.
Show me one of the... Show me... Do name this person. There can't be more than one of them.
Not everyone's like you, Gareth.
No, seriously, what's the plan here? Have you started casting? Have you got your ideas
together?
No, there?
I mean, we've got the story. We obviously still on the marketing tour right now.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got the story and we're developing it. And it's going to be sort of five females around about Donnelly's
age. What if
age?
We put Sia in a sundress? Would you be able to accommodate Sia if we put him in a sundress and a wig?
He's beautiful.
Exactly. We need to capitalize on Caitlyn Jenner. You know, we need to keep up with the times.
Of course. How are you in heels?
Mavs, do you think
we'll make
Sia
this
would
work?
Be?
I'll be Katrina. You know? Afrikaans
like
version of
Katrina.
Caitlyn.
There we go. All right. Well, here Roman says nobody wants to create a bad film, but have you guys ever seen Fast and Furious 7? That's a quiz. No,
have you seen Bunny Chow? Let's be serious here. Fast and Furious 7 was Fast and Furious. It can't be bad. It's got a genre.
Well,
it's
they
its
are.
Own genre.
I just want to say Fast and the Furious made opening weekend in South Africa made 22 million rand opening weekend. I think it ended like at 56 million rand locally.
Wow.
Locally.
Oh, wow.
So, you know,
that's
I'm not going to say
in perspective.
Anything.
Because we can't take Roman seriously. He thinks The Revenant's an epic.
Yeah, that's true. And by the way, when you look at a movie like Star Wars, which was obviously what you were up against that weekend, right?
Deadpool.
Deadpool,
yeah.
But I mean, this Star Wars, how much is that made here? Locally?
I think they're on like 47 million. So Fast and the Furious is still kicking them.
That's unbelievable that there's so many stupid people who'd watch Fast and the Furious.
And Star Wars, are you a
shut
fan?
Up. Don't you
fan?
Say that's stupid.
No, I'm just,
All right, I've got to go and see your movie. That's the point.
And Fast and Furious 7.
And I reckon a lot of us should go. It's in the end, it's a good human story, right? Yeah. And those are the ones that resonate. You were saying earlier, people come out of the cinema and they're crying or they're happy or they've got their own story to tell because all of these things are basic human they're touch points. It's the stuff that we all live with day after day.
It's called
right?
emotions, Gareth.
There we
I
go.
Know you
I'm
don't
coming
have
to terms
a lot
with
of,
those.
Yeah, it's difficult for
I'm
you.
Learning about these things. Soon, emotions I will have. I'm going to get there. But well done to you guys. I'm very, very impressed. I hope that you continue to make a huge success. Oh, Flax is probably going to try and get a role in your movie now. What do you want, Flax? What is it? What do you need?
I wanted to give some advice. I mean, love advice. Is beautiful. Love has no boundaries, no borders. And it sounds like Yvonne really likes you. And you've said you like her, but you need to still take her feelings into account. Because you two work together, she might feel that it could affect work.
Yeah.
But then again, you also need to understand that love is also time bound. Like, you can't make him
wait
forever.
He's not
going to
wait forever, Donovan.
And you don't want to miss out on something beautiful.
Yeah. You could be friend zoned.
This could be the most beautiful relationship ever. If you feel an ounce of love for him, just take a chance, dive, and see if you can fly.
Yeah. Wow. Such a hopeless romantic.
I know. Who knew?
He's watched the film.
Yeah.
I'm impressed. Take a chance. Go on a whim.
Thank you very much for the advice.
And your babies would look beautiful.
Yeah, you'd have very attractive children, you two.
Thank you.
That you would. And you want how many kids? We know he's fertile. He's produced one already.
Exactly.
He can give you more.
Yes, I like you guys. Damn.
Huh? Come on.
Say two.
Two. That's a good start.
I can do two.
Good start.
All right.
At least agree to a date with him.
Yes, exactly.
And he's good looking.
Thank you.
All right.
So we never heard this in Afternoon Express.
You mean Genie didn't ask this stuff? Huh? By the way, have you seen Ryan Reynolds?
Please.
Ben, except if his head weren't so huge. He'd look like Ryan Reynolds. If his head were in proportion with his body. All right. Listen, you two. Thank you so much for popping by. You've said it all. I hope that your movie continues to generate lots and lots of box office success. It makes people happy. And good luck for the next couple of movies and many amazing years ahead in your careers.
Thank you very much.
And
really
I do think Flax may have a point about this whole relationship thing. Maybe you should let it happen, see how it goes.
Thanks.
What's the worst that could happen?
Exactly.
You could hate each other and never work together again. Yeah, and then we'd never see a great movie.
No biggie.
Nothing.
Just a little thing. Yeah. Right, Mubs?
Sure.
My bully's a hopeless romantic too.
She's been crying here the whole time.
No, she's the opposite of a hopeless romantic. In fact, if there's one person in the room, ironically, who would not find your movie entertaining, it'd probably be her.
That's an unfair statement to make.
Oh, really?
When you don't know anything about what goes on in my head.
Oh, yes, we do. We get to see inside that head every day for 3 hours, 5 days a week.
Will you go on a date with me?
Oh, there we go.
I don't want to get in the middle of this.
This is called hedging your bets.
But you can go and then give me feedback whether it's worth it.
Test it out
going on the date
okay.
or not. So test it out for you and then you'll decide.
Just for the record, I don't believe for a second that you two have not been intimate with each other. I don't believe it for a second.
On the films the whole time?
No. I mean in real life.
In real life.
Yeah, I'm totally convinced that you do have...
Yeah, practicing scripts in the room, that kind of stuff. Exactly. Yeah.
Method actors.
Let's practice that kiss again. And again.
I don't sound like that.
Let's practice that kiss again. I don't know. I can't make it sound like you. All right, listen. Thank you for coming by and all the best with you. This movie, it's called For Altate. Make sure that you go and see it. And you know what? You might just find that you've discovered a whole new genre of local film that you love, and then these guys are going to have to produce 100 movies to quench your thirst, right?
Thank you.
Let's
thank
do
you
it.
Very
thank
much.
You guys.
All right, lovely to have you here.
Appreciate it.
And let's wrap it up with the un-news for this morning. The greatest rugby player of all time, Richie McCaw, thinks it's now time for New Zealand to get a new flag. New Zealanders are often thought of as watered-down Australians by the rest of the world, and their current flag backs that up. You know, the Australian flag, it's got the little Union Jack in the corner, and then it's got stars. The New Zealand flag is exactly the same, except the stars are red. McCaw thinks the flag is a relic of colonialism, it's too similar to the Australian one, and is calling for change, along with Dan Carter and lesser-known New Zealand celebrity Prime Minister John Key. It is unsure what a new New Zealand flag would look like, but the popular opinion is that it would just be a Rugby World Cup set on a black background. Donald Trump has urged everyone to boycott Apple products until Apple play ball with the FBI and make everyone's phones easily hackable. Apple is naturally not bothered by this, as a majority of Trump supporters generally just shout at each other in order to communicate. And the closest they get to having a tablet is an antidepressant. And finally, England's cricket tour of South Africa is finally over. They've been here for well over 2 months with a test series win, but defeats in both the ODI and T20 series. They're not too bothered about the white ball stuff, though. They essentially came here to win the tests and recruit new talent for the future. Both goals seem to have been achieved. Paperwork still pending, but reports suggest at least 28 talented South Africans are about to swap their green passports for maroon ones. Watch this space. All right, and we will see you tomorrow between 6 and 9 in the morning. Have an excellent day. Coming up next, let me give a quick look at the lineup. We've got Nina Hasty in with TG Squared. We've got Ben Karpinski's Bounce Show. What are you doing today, Ben?
A lot, Gareth. I got my most high-profile guest yet. We're talking Super Rugby. We're recapping the Proteas.
Well, who's this guest?
Well, you have to listen at 10.
Oh. Okay. And you carry on. You were profiling what?
Well, that was about it. And World T20 World Cup.
Thank you.
That's coming up soon. And then Dan from Conquer Sport with the latest thought-provoking piece.
All right, excellent. Young, Wild and Free with Mango Bangubo, who will be talking about what it takes for a young black entrepreneur to make it. The show is brought to you by Versoe. And then there's certified marketer, businessman, real estate mogul, and best friend of stars like Somizi, Thibaut Touch, and many more. T-Timba will tell everybody everything that you need to know. Then Generations, the legacy actor, Nkululeko Magoba, tells you about handling fame, about being a wanted bachelor, his big project for African kids, and what he wants young Africans to know. Don't miss out. The Leadership Platform with Adrian Groenewald is sponsored by Sibanye Gold. We've got the Leadership Masterclass. We've got the Leader Interview, Business Skills, SME, and then Leadership in Education. Rounding off the day, Rosie Mutene is there with Pan-African Connect, and Kelman on Cliff Central brings up the rear with the team back from Design in Durban in Cape Town, back into the swing of things. All your favorites from Zalebs to GRT, that's the Gents Roundtable, and Vaughn Thiel's Monday Motivation in the Spoken Hustle. It's all right there. We will see you tomorrow. CliffCentral.com.